1777. On a January night at Valley Forge, General George Washington reads a letter he has just written.
Your imagination can hardly extend to a situation more distressing than mine. Our only dependence now is upon the speedy enlistment of a new army. If this fails, the game will be pretty well up. Your obedient servant, George Washington. Pompey. Pompey!
Coming, Marshal. Generals are coming, sir.
See that the post rider takes this to Philadelphia in the morning.
Yes, sir. I'll give it to him. Never fear, Marshal General.
Open the door.
Yes, sir.
Come in, Colonel Pickering. You may go, Pompey.
Yes.
Forgive me for disturbing you, General, but I saw the post rider. Did he bring us...
I received a message from Congress, yes.
They're sending supplies?
Promises, Colonel. They expect me to give them victories in return for promises.
By the great horn spoon, we're done for, then.
Half our soldiers left us at Newark when their time of service was up. Tomorrow, many others will desert rather than re-enlist.
Can you blame them? Their feet leave bloody footprints in the snow. I know that you've done all that mortal man could, General Washington, but even you can't make an army without men.
Soldiers need more than food and clothing to fight on. They need great words to inspire them. Do you know what provoked a powerful change in men's minds and set the spark for our revolution, Colonel Pickering?
The Declaration of Independence?
No, but the words of a poor staymaker from London slums who wrote a pamphlet. Here, let me read you a few lines of what he wrote. The sun never shined on a cause of greater worth. O ye that love mankind, stand forth. Every spot of the old world is overrun with oppression. We have it in our power to begin the world all over again. How trifling do the little paltry cavillings of a few weak or uninterested men appear when weighed against the business of a world.
You've put new heart into me, General Washington. Somehow I feel that you will find some way to lead us through this crisis. Good night, General.
Good night, Colonel Pickering. Pompey!
Yes, sir, Master General, yes, sir. I was just patching your parade overcoat. If this gives out, you got nothing but that old cloak you wore riding around the plantation, sir.
I gave you a letter to the post just now. Burn it.
Yes, sir. You changed your mind, Master General?
Something has changed my mind. Give me that coat. I cannot sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a walk about the camp.
More wood. This campfire is as cold as men's courage. Yeah, that's better.
Good evening, friend. I see I am not the only one astir tonight.
Good evening, whoever you are.
My man, you'll freeze without a coat in this snow.
Is it cold? I hadn't noticed.
And that drumhead. A strange desk, certainly.
Not at all. When I lack a word, I strike it. So. And it spurs me on.
What do you write?
Since you're so curious, friend, what's your name? I write great words to fill the empty bellies of our troop. Great thoughts to wrap themselves in like a cloak against the cold.
Read me a few of these words.
Very good, Master Nosey. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country.
Your name is Tom Paine.
That's right. What's yours?
Here, put my coat around you and go on reading.
You see, friend, what's your name? No cause can be won without two armies. An army of principle as well as an army of soldiers. Together, they will march to the horizons of the world and conquer.
I insist that you take my cloak. I have another.
General Washington! Great heavens! I didn't recognize you before with your collar up. I cannot allow you.
I need your army of principal pain. Tomorrow I shall call the troops together to read them what you have written. I have called you hither to read you this paper in my hands. It was written by one of your own number, half famished, half naked, like yourselves. After I have finished, those whose enlistment is up and who wish to leave will step forward. Attention! These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. I have as little superstition in me as any man living, but my secret opinion has ever been that God Almighty will not give up a people to military destruction who have so earnestly sought to avoid the calamities of war by every decent means. Up and help us! Lay your shoulder to the wheel. Better have too much force than too little when so great an object is at stake. It matters not where you live or what rank of life you hold. The evil or the blessing will reach you all. The heart that feels not now is dead. The blood of his children will curse his cowardice who shrinks back at a time when a little might have saved the whole and made them happy. I thank God that I fear not. I see no real cause for fear. By perseverance and fortitude, we have the prospects of a glorious issue. By cowardice and submission, the sad choice of a variety of evils. A ravaged country, a depopulated city, habitations without safety, slavery without hope.